ప్రార్థన చేసుకుందాం. తల వంచినట్లయితే ప్రార్థనతో వాక్య పరిచర్యలోనికి వెళ్దాం. అవర్ డియర్ లవింగ్ హెవెన్లీ ఫాదర్, ఈ యొక్క సాయంకాల సమయాన మాకు అనుగ్రహించిన యొక్క మహా గొప్ప సమయాన్ని బట్టి నీకు వందనాలు చెల్లిస్తూ ఉన్నాం. థ్యాంక్ యూ లార్డ్ ఫర్ దిస్ టైమ్. నౌ లార్డ్, ఈవెన్ యాజ్ వీ సబ్మిట్ అవర్ సెల్వ్స్ ఇన్ యువర్ హ్యాండ్స్, మై ఫాదర్, ఐ ఆస్క్ యూ లార్డ్ దట్ యూ వుడ్ స్పీక్ టు అస్. స్పీక్ టు మీ లార్డ్, హెల్ప్ మీ లార్డ్ దట్ ఐ వుడ్ live the life that I am preaching. Help me, Lord, that I would stand on a ground wherein the foundation is solid, on the rock called Christ. Help me, Lord, help us, Lord, that we would mold our lives, that we would tune our lives according to the word of God, and that our firm foundation is the word of God. Because the word is exalted above, far above your name, my Father. So I want to take this privilege, O Lord, to spend and dwell in your word for a few minutes. And even as we do so, Father, I pray that you would minister to us in a special way through your word. This is your word. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. To that end, we submit ourselves into your hands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for bearing with some inconvenience tonight, even as we are spending time in this fellowship hall. I know some arrangements are not good, and it's difficult for you to sit in those seats, and it's pretty hot in here as well. We try to put two fans and a little bit of air conditions to make you a little bit comfortable. So let's go into the word on some of the thoughts that God has put on my heart for several years, I should say, about the kingdom of God. And the Lord is ministering to me in a very special way through these verses and through these scripture portions. It is very, very important for us to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, I think, in chapter number 13, verse 5, Apostle Paul reminds Corinthians, saying that you ought to test yourself whether you are in faith or not. I think it's in verse 5. Verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? So, starting from that verse, I started to dwell on an aspect called the kingdom of God. The Bible, and especially when Jesus spoke, Yesu Christu Prabhuvaru ee lokamlo unnapudu తను చేసినటువంటి పరిచర్యలో చాలా మటుకు ఆయన రాజ్యాన్ని గురించినటువంటి మర్మాలు తెలియజేసినట్లుగా వాక్యం సెలవిస్తోంది. చాలా ఆయన చేసినటువంటి బోధ, ఆయన చేసినటువంటి ప్రసంగాలు, ఆయన చేసినటువంటి వాక్య పరిచర్యలో దేవుని రాజ్యానికి సంబంధించినటువంటి అనేకమైనటువంటి సత్యాలు తరచుగా మనం చూస్తూ ఉంటాం. ఈ యొక్క సత్యాలు మత్తయి సువార్త, మార్కు సువార్త, లూకు సువార్త, లూకా సువార్త, మరి యోహాను సువార్తలో చాలా గూఢముగా మనకి రాయబడినట్లుగా, దేవుడు మన కొరకు రాసి ఉంచినట్లుగా తెలియబడుతూ ఉన్నాం. ప్రియమైనటువంటి వారులారా, అందులో కొన్ని ముఖ్య అంశాలు, దేవుని రాజ్యాన్ని గురించినటువంటి కొన్ని ముఖ్య అంశాలు ఉన్నాయి. ఆ ముఖ్య అంశాలు మరి ఈ యొక్క విధంగా మనం చూసినట్లయితే, మొట్టమొదటిగా ఈ యొక్క రాజ్యము మరి అంతము లేనటువంటి రాజ్యముగా మనం చూస్తూ వస్తూ ఉన్నాం. ఈ రాజ్యము దేవుని యొక్క రాజ్యం. ప్రియమైనటువంటి వారులారా, యేసుక్రీస్తు ప్రభువారు ఈ లోకంలోకి వచ్చినది మొదలుకొని ఆయన ఒక రాజ్యాన్ని స్థాపించారు. ఆయన కొరకు ఒక ప్రత్యేకమైన జనాంగాన్ని సిద్ధపరచుకున్నారు. ఈ జనాంగంలో నీవును నేనును ఉన్నాము అంటే అది మన యొక్క జీవితంలో చాలా గొప్ప మరి పరిస్థితి అని గమనించాలి. ఇటువంటి పరిస్థితి, ఇటువంటి అవకాశము అన్ని జనులకు లేదు అనేటువంటి సత్యాన్ని ఒక ఉదయకాల ఈ యొక్క సాయంకాల సమయంలో మనం చూడబోతున్నాం. కాబట్టి ఈ రాజ్యము అంతం లేనటువంటి రాజ్యంగా మనం చూస్తూ ఉన్నాం. ఈ రాజ్యము జగత్ పునాది వేయబడక ముందు తన యొక్క భక్తుల కొరకు, తన యొక్క బిడ్డల కొరకు ఆయన భూమి పునాదులు వేయబడక ముందు ఆలోచన చేసి మన కొరకు సిద్ధపరిచినటువంటి రాజ్యముగా మత్తయి సువార్త 25:34 మాటలు కూడా మనం చూస్తూ ఉన్నాం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ బిఫోర్ ద ఫౌండేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ వర్ మేడ్. జగత్ పునాది వేయబడక ముందే ఉన్నది. ఈ యొక్క రాజ్యము మరి చూచినట్లయితే ఈ యొక్క రాజ్యము సర్వరాజ్యముల మీద రాజ్యము చేయననటువంటి మాట మరి ప్రకటన గ్రంథం 11:15 మాటలో కూడా మనం చూస్తూ ఉన్నాం. ఈ విధంగా దేవుని రాజ్యానికి సంబంధించినటువంటి అనేకమైన మర్మాలు మనం చూసుకుంటూ పోతూ ఉంటే చాలా మటుకు మనం పరిశీలించుకునవచ్చు. దేవుడు కూడా యేసుక్రీస్తు ప్రభు వారు కూడా చాలా చెప్పారు. ఏమని చెప్పారంటే ఈ రాజ్యంలో ఎవరైతే వెళ్ళరో వారి గురించి చాలా ఖచ్చితంగా చెప్పినటువంటి మాటలు కొన్ని గ్రహిస్తూ ఉన్నాం. హూ విల్ నాట్ ఇన్హెరిట్ ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్? మనందరం అనుకుంటాం మనం దేవుని తెలుసుకుని ఉన్నాం, మనకు విశ్వాసం ఉంది, నాకు యేసుక్రీస్తు ప్రభు వారు తెలుసు, నాకు చిన్నప్పటి నుంచి క్రైస్తవుణ్ణి, నేను చిన్నప్పటి నుంచి గుడికి వెళ్తున్నాను, చాలా మంచిగా నేను వాక్యం చదువుతున్నాను, చాలా మంచిగా చదువుతున్నాను అని మనం అనుకునవచ్చు. కానీ యేసుక్రీస్తు ప్రభు వారు ఇవేమీ కూడా చెప్పలేదు. నువ్వు గుడికి వెళ్ళాలి, నువ్వు ఇది చేయాలి అది చేయాలి అని ఏమి ప్రస్తావించినట్లుగా మనం చూడటం లేదు. ఆయన కోరేది ఒకటే ఒకటి, నీ హృదయంలో యేసుక్రీస్తు ప్రభువారితో సత్సంబంధం కలిగినటువంటి ఆ యొక్క సంగమం అయినటువంటి ఆ యొక్క అనుభవం నీలో ఉన్నదా లేదా అని పరిశీలన చేసుకుని పరీక్షించుకోవాల్సిందిగా దేవుని యొక్క వాక్యము పదే పదే సార్లు మనం ఘోషిస్తూ వస్తూ ఉంటుంది. కొన్ని మాటలను మనం గ్రహించినట్లయితే యోహాను సువార్త 3:3 మనం చూస్తున్నాం, ఒకటి తిరిగి జన్మించేటువంటి అనుభవం లేని ఎడల, ఇఫ్ యు డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ బోర్న్ అగైన్, ఆ యొక్క పరిస్థితిలో ఉన్న నువ్వు దేవుని రాజ్యానికి వెళ్ళవు, ఎట్టి పరిస్థితుల్లో కూడా ఉండవని దేవుని మాటలు మనకు సెలవిస్తూ ఉన్నది. ఇవన్నీ కూడా మనం ధ్యానం చేసుకుంటూ వచ్చాం. చాలా మరి 2 సంవత్సరాలు అయిపోయిందేమో ఈ మాటలను మనం గమనించి కూడా మర్చిపోయి ఉండొచ్చు కూడా, కానీ త్వర త్వరగా నేను జ్ఞాపకం చేస్తూ ఉన్నాను. మత్తయి సువార్త 5:5 కూడా నీ నీతి పరిశీలిత అన్నిటికన్నా మరి మించినటువంటి నీతిగా ఉండాలని కూడా మనం ధ్యానం చేసుకుని ఉన్నాం. నెక్స్ట్ స్లైడ్ ప్లీజ్. అండ్ Matthew 7:21 ఆల్సో ఇట్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ దట్ డూ ద విల్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫాదర్, తండ్రి చేత, అబ్బా అబ్బా అని పిలడం కాదు, తండ్రి అని పిలడం కాదు, లేకపోతే మరి దేవాదేవా అని పిలటం కాదు, కానీ తండ్రి చిత్తానుసారముగా తండ్రి చిత్తాన్ని చేయవాడే దేవుని రాజ్యానికి అర్హుడు అన్నటువంటి మాటను కూడా మనం చదువుకుంటూ ఉన్నాం. ప్రేమైనటువంటి వారిలో ఆర్ వీ డూయింగ్ ఆర్ ఆర్ వీ ఇన్ ద సెంటర్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ విల్ అన్నది ప్రశ్న వేసుకోవాలి. ఆర్ వీ ఇన్ ద సెంటర్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ విల్ అన్న పరీక్ష మనం పెట్టుకోవాలి. మనం నిజంగా అదే కదా పరీక్ష కొరింథీయులకు రాస్తూ అంటూ ఉన్నాడు పౌలు గారు, నువ్వు యేసుక్రీస్తు నీలో ఉన్నాడో లేదో అని పరీక్ష పెట్టుకోమని చెప్తూ ఆయన యొక్క మాటలు రాస్తూ ఉన్నాడు. కాబట్టి దేవుని రాజ్యానికి వెళ్ళటం అనేది అది మనం అనుకుంటే జరిగేటువంటి పని కాదు, లేకపోతే మనకి అది ఒక మన యొక్క హృదయంలో చాలా గ్యారంటీ ఉందన్నది పరిస్థితి కాదు. కొన్ని పరీక్షలు పెట్టుకోవాల్సిన అవసరత మనకి ఎంతెంత ఉందని దేవుని యొక్క వాక్యం సెలవిస్తూ ఉంది. లోకసువత 18:17 కూడా ఒక మాట చదువుతూ ఉన్నాం, చిన్న పిల్లల వలె మనం మొత్తము కూడా వీ మస్ట్ ట్రస్ట్ ఇన్ ద లార్డ్ విత్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ థింగ్స్ అండ్ వన్ థింగ్ వీ రిమెంబర్ దట్ డేస్ ఇఫ్ యువర్ స్పిరిచువల్ యాసెట్స్ ఆర్ లెస్ దాన్ యువర్ ఫైనాన్షియల్ యాసెట్స్, నీ యొక్క జీవితంలో ఆర్థిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి స్థితిగతులు లేకపోతే భౌతిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి ఆ యొక్క మరి అడ్వాన్స్మెంట్స్ నీవు ఉండి ఆత్మీయంగా నువ్వు శిథిలమైనటువంటి పరిస్థితులు ఉన్నట్లయితే, ఆత్మీయంగా నీ యొక్క మరి జీవితంలో మరి ఎటువంటి ఎదుగుదల లేకుండా ఉన్నట్లయితే, ప్రియమైనటువంటి దేవుని యొక్క బిడ్డలారా, దేవుని రాజ్యానికి మనం వారసులము కాము. గాడ్ ఈజ్ డిజైరింగ్, జాగ్రత్తగా గమనించవలసిన మాట, ఇన్హెరిటింగ్ ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, దేవుని యొక్క రాజ్యానికి వారసులు. యు విల్ నెవర్ బికమ్ ద వన్ ద హెయిర్ టు ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ మై డియర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ స్పెండింగ్ యువర్ టైమ్ బిల్డింగ్ యువర్ ఫిజికల్ అండ్ ఫైనాన్షియల్ అసెట్స్ రాదర్ దాన్ బిల్డింగ్ యువర్ స్పిరిచువల్ అసెట్స్. ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ స్పిరిచువలీ బ్యాంక్ కరప్ట్ మై డియర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ యు మైట్ బేర్లీ గోయింగ్ టు హెవెన్ బట్ యు విల్ ఇన్హెరిట్ నథింగ్ దేర్. సో దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ అస్ to go through some of the tests and some of the ways that the scripture is talking to us to examine ourselves. The next thing that we see in Matthew 19:20-24 that we need to prioritize God above everything. God should become number one in our life. In fact, there is no number for God. He is always the first and the most priority in our life. The rest of the things have priority in life. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ అటువంటి అనుభవం లేకుండా మనం జీవిస్తూ ఉన్నట్లయితే ఈ లోకంలో కొట్టుకుని వెళ్ళిపోతాం, లోకాశలలో కొట్టుకుని వెళ్ళిపోతాం, కానీ దేవుని రాజ్యానికి దూరంగా వెళుతున్నాం అనేటువంటి సత్యాన్ని మేము జ్ఞాపకం చేసుకుని ఉన్నాం. అపొస్తల కార్యములు 14:22 మాటలో కూడా మనం గమనిస్తూ ఉన్నాం, క్రీస్తు కొరకు శ్రమ అనుభవించేటువంటి అనుభవం లేని ఎడల ప్రియమైనటువంటి వారలరా, దేవుని రాజ్యానికి మనం అర్హులం కాము. ప్రియమైనటువంటి వారలరా, ఏసీలో కూర్చుని ఫ్యాన్ కింద కూర్చుని హ్యాపీగా మన టైంని వేస్ట్ చేసి మరి లోక సంబంధమైనటువంటి జీవితం జీవించుచూ ఉన్నట్లయితే ప్రియమైనటువంటి వారులారా, దేర్ వీ విల్ రియలైజ్ హౌ మచ్ టైమ్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ వేస్టెడ్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఎర్త్. ఐ వాజ్ రిమెంబరింగ్ మై సెల్ఫ్ టుడే వెన్ మై నేబర్ గాయ్ హూ ఈస్ స్టాండింగ్ ఆన్ ది ఆపోజిట్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ మై హోమ్, హీ స్టాండ్స్ దేర్ అట్లీస్ట్ 9 hours a day. Right from morning 6 until night 10 o'clock, he stands and he stares at the traffic, he stares at all of us, he stares at all of our homes, and he keeps on smoking. I think he smokes nearly more than 100 cigarettes a day. And I was thinking that what time is he wasting on earth? And one day he will realize when he go to heaven, burning himself in the hell, how much time he has wasted. If we do not prioritize God, if Christu koraku shrama padakapoyinatlaithe, Christu koraku shrama anubhavinchakapoyinatlaithe, mana yokka jeevithamlo chaala kolipothunnanu ante satyan aa vidhanga manam gyapakam chesukunnam. They must go through suffering and they must bear fruit. That's another thing that we also remembered ourselves. We must bear fruit. If you are not bearing fruit, that essentially means that you are not abiding in Christ. That essentially means that you don't belong to Christ. That also means that you don't have any place as inheritance in heaven. Bearing fruit is no option for any believer. Bearing fruit is a must. And if you are not bearing fruit, we must test and examine ourselves whether Christ is living in or not. And then we have examined several fruits. There is a fruit of the Spirit, there is a fruit of repentance, fruit of light, and so on and on. We have talked about all of that. And we shall move on in Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. The Bible reminds us that they that belong to Christ have crucified themselves. And we have looked into three crosses. One is the cross of Calvary, around which we live. We don't go beyond, but we live at the foot of the cross of Calvary. And we linger our lives around the cross and the foot of Calvary. Therefore, Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians, I have desired to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. My dear friends, we might be very, very wise in this world, but there is none comes closer to the righteousness of the Lord. There is none comes close to the wisdom of the Lord, which is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. If you and I are not dwelling on the cross of Calvary, we are no way close, my dear friends. And then there is a second cross that we have examined. And that is the cross that Paul is talking about. That I am crucified and my flesh and its desires are on that cross. In anybody sitting here, there are only two places wherein the old self is visible. Either it is visible in your life or it is visible on the cross. If it is visible on the life, it is time that you take and pull it out and put it on the cross and nail it there. Because those who belong to Christ have done it and practice to do it every day. So Apostle Paul reminds that I die every day. I put myself, the old self, on the cross and nail it to the cross. My desires and all my fleshly intentions, I crucify it on the cross. And the third cross that we have meditated on the day is that I am crucified along with Christ. That means to identify myself in the cross, identify myself in the sufferings of Christ. This is the third cross. And that cross happens only if you linger around the cross of Calvary and only if you have crucified your flesh and desires on the cross. And then you will come and identify yourself in the sufferings of Christ. Thereby you are chosen for that suffering. Blessed are you. So that is the cross that each of us, and we also meditated on those who belong to Christ, they know their God. They know their God. They live their God. Yehovah, Devudu ani telusukonudi anantuvanti mata vaari yokka jeevithamlo nizamuga mari sthapimpabadi sthirapadi dani mede vaaru jeevinchuchu unnaru. They are not mere people, or they are not even great people, but they know their Lord. I know my Lord. I know who has called me. And that is, there are many, many things that we can talk about knowing God. Kontamandi tama swanta labhala koraku vaaru devuni nammutu untaru. Devudu naaku idi chesthe nenu ayanni nammutanu. Devudu naa jeevithamlo ee karyam chesthe nenu nammutanu. Swanta labham koraku nammutuntaru. Kontamandi samshayamtho nammutuntaru. They believe, but they also doubt. Doubt and belief will go together in their lives. అవును, నిజమే దేవుడు అలా చెప్పాడు. కానీ ఇప్పటికీ కూడా మరి అన్ని ఆచారాల్లో నడుస్తున్నటువంటి క్రైస్తవులు ఎంతమంది లేరు. కాళ్ళకి మట్టిలు పెట్టుకుంటూ ఉన్నారు, మెడలో మరి వేసుకోవాల్సినవి వేసుకోకూడని కూడా వేసుకుంటూ ఉన్నారు, వాస్తులు చూస్తూ ఉన్నారు, ముహూర్తాలు చూస్తూ ఉన్నారు. సంశయంతో కూడినటువంటి విశ్వాసం ఉన్నవారు ఉన్నారు, అదేవిధంగా స్వలాభాల కొరకు మరి నమ్మినటువంటి విశ్వాసులు కూడా ఉన్నారు. మూడవదిగా మనం కూడా చూస్తూ ఉన్నాం ఇటువంటి వారు ఎటువంటి, కానీ దేవునితో సత్సంబంధం కలిగినటువంటి విశ్వాసంతో కూడినటువంటి విశ్వాసులు ఉన్నారు. అటువంటి వారు దేవుని రాజ్యానికి వారసులు, ప్రియమైన వారు. దే దట్ నో దేర్ గాడ్ విల్ గో అండ్ ఇన్హెరిట్ ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, ఆర్ దోజ్ హూ విల్ ఇన్హెరిట్ ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ నో దేర్ గాడ్. వారు సత్సంబంధం కలిగి ఉన్నారు, యేసుతో సంఘమం కలిగి ఉంటూ ఉన్నారు. దే ఆర్ యూనియన్ విత్ క్రైస్ట్ ఈజ్ విజిబుల్ ఇన్ దేర్ లైఫ్స్ బికాస్ దే నో హూమ్ దే హ్యావ్ బిలీవ్డ్. And we also see in the last time that we have shared that they are comfort to one another. God has given His word as a comfort to His people. And when we read the word of God, it encourages us, it comforts us, it gives us great pleasure. And when we dwell in the word of God, and in Jesus we have a comforter. And the Bible says that in Jesus we have comforter. When we sin, my dear friends, we must understand that we have one interceding at the right hand of God, comforting us even in our down times and even in our high times. Jesus is a comforter, and we have a comforter in the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised, if I go to heaven, if I go to my Father, I will send the Comforter who is going to live with you. These are the three types of comforts. But there is a fourth type of comfort, that is comfort from one another. When Titus come to Paul, and when he saw Titus, he was comforted on that matter. Devuni yokka vakyamlo chadukuntu unnam. Okarinokaru మరి వాక్యము ద్వారా కంఫర్ట్ చేసుకోవటం, ఒకరినొకరు ప్రెజెన్స్ వల్ల కంఫర్ట్ చేసుకోవడం. దట్స్ వై చర్చ్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ ఆర్గనైజేషన్ ఇన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. వెన్ జీసస్ హ్ ఫార్మ్ దిస్ ఆర్గనైజేషన్ కాల్ చర్చ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ టు కంఫర్ట్ వన్ అనదర్. Yesterday we were visiting one student in a hospital who is almost like became half of what he was because of a severe illness in his life. And he was in terrible pain when we visited him. And when we were praying with him, his parents came online. In the hospital, he has a laptop, and his parents came online, and they were bitterly crying because of the situation. They couldn't see their son in such a situation, and they were crying, but they thanked because of us that they got comfort, because somebody from the believing community went and prayed and stayed with that man or that student in the hospital. So that is the comfort God has given us. So those who belong to Christ get comfort from the word of God, get comfort from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even in our times when we sin and when we come short. When we comfort from the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, when it convicts us of our sin, and believers are a comfort to one another. This evening we are going to look into one more aspect. I know I have spent a lot of time giving you some insights on where we are, but this evening we are going to spend some time on an aspect called true disciples. Those who belong to Christ, those who belong to the kingdom, those who are going to inherit the kingdom are true disciples of Christ. I was specifically drawn to this verse in Luke chapter 12. Turn with me please to Luke chapter 12. And as the word of God is read, look at this passage. Luke chapter 12 verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people have gathered together that they were trampling one another. Here we see a huge crowd. And people are trampling one another. People are coming to listen to Jesus. And they are so large in number, my dear friends. But then look at what Jesus did. He began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is an aspect here that Jesus is showing us. In the multitudes of people in the presence of Jesus, There are very specific people to whom Jesus turns his face and speaks, and those are his disciples. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, we also see a huge crowd. In Luke chapter 6 verse 17, another huge crowd. Wherever Jesus went, there is huge crowds. In Luke chapter 11 verse 29 and Luke chapter 9 verse 37, we see on and on, these verses always talks about multitudes of people coming down to listen to him. But as we see in the scriptures, Jesus turned to his disciples. 9 verse 44, Luke chapter 9 verse 44 says, let these words sink into your ears. You see, crowds doesn't mean anything. You see, crowds is not a measure of spiritual prosperity. Transformed into the likeness of Jesus and becoming like him is the measure of a spiritual maturity. Therefore, it is absolutely important for us to transform from the crowd. We are not a crowd. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12 verse 32, fear not, little flock. It is not about the crowd he was talking about. Fear not huge crowds. Fear not big crowds, entire world. No, fear not little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is only a little flock. It is only a little bit. It's only a section of the crowd. It is not the whole section. He always had a heart for his disciples, true disciples in the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 13 verse 3, we read a very specific thing the Lord has done. In John chapter 13 verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, these are the final moments of our Lord. Final moments. In a few moments, he's going to be on the cross of Calvary. He's going to be gone. And Jesus, knowing that Father has given everything. Dear friends, I'm a very popular speaker. If for a moment, just imagine that I'm a very, very popular speaker. Every time I come and speak, I earn in, let us say, thousands of dollars. And I have become so popular that whenever I stand to speak, there are multitudes of people. And there is a lot of arrangements. Just think for a moment. And I have come to the end of my life. And I have so much established throughout my career. And I have everything that I want. And especially when you read this scripture in John chapter 13 verse 3. The Father has given all things into his hands. Let me say that I have everything in my hand. I have lots of properties, lots of homes, lots of cars, a lot of money and fame and all goodwill that you ever think of. Now see what Jesus does. Now that he has come from God and he went to God, verse 4 of John chapter 13, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded him. I think you all know this. If I was in that place, I would give Matthew something to flourish in his business. I would give a certain amount of money to Peter and says, go do your fishing business, establish, and go earn a lot of money. And to Andrew, I will call and give him something else to flourish in his business. And I will give something else to Matthew. And so on. And I would distribute my wealth, property, whatever I have achieved in my life. But look at Jesus, what he did. All he had to offer is he bent his knee, washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, this is all I have for you. I really wonder why Jesus did not give them material blessing. Because the Bible says that Father has given everything into his hands. Why not a few more dollars? Why not something else to make them live in this world? Nothing. Here is a popular speaker. But then he says that you are called to do so. If you are my disciples, you got to do the same. And Jesus knowing that. You see, that is what happens with the multitudes. They have no idea who their God is. It's not about multitudes, but it's about the little flock. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus asks the same question. Now, this is what Jesus says. Now, it happened that he, as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Not the crowd, just the disciples. And he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? Look at this answer. The crowds think, and they answered, John the Baptist. But others say, Elijah. And others, that the one of the prophets of the old has risen. And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Only the disciples know their God. The crowds have different opinion about God. That's why in the morning service also, we have seen time and again how the ministry of the Word of God is convicting the people to discern the Word of God, to know their God, to know His voice. Whenever you are hearing a man of God, or whenever somebody is preaching the Word of God, whenever he's bringing the Word of God, we must make sure that it is the whole and the right counsel of God, and that it is from the Scripture, and it is the Word of God, and it is the voice of God. We will not be a part of the crowd. We will not be a part of the crowd's practices. Neither its foundation structures and all the practices and all of that human-made, man-made procedures and all of that. We will refuse to follow them if they are not according to the Word of God. Let us not be a part of the crowd, but let us be a part of the smaller community, which is the true disciples of Christ. So only the disciples know that He is God. And then it follows in the Word of God that it says, for it is revealed by the Father unto Him to make known, to uncover, or to uncover. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. That is the testimony of Jesus to Peter that we see in Matthew. Matthew chapter. We see that verse. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon. It is given to him, or it is uncovered to him. That's the actual word or the meaning of the word. The meaning of the word to make known, or is to uncover. Uncovering of the truth. Who is Christ? Who is Jesus? It is not uncovered to the crowds. It is only uncovered to his disciples. Further in Matthew, it says that for he chose them to whom he reveals. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27, I think. Some of my references here are jumbled up on that note. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27, I guess. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, or chooses to uncover. My dear friends, if you are a part of the crowd, you must be guaranteeing yourself that God hasn't revealed himself to you, Jesus hasn't revealed himself, or the Father to you. You got to be true disciple in order to know who Jesus is. Or you just might know his name, but you haven't got that special relationship with Jesus, which is called union with Christ. For it seemed good in his sight, says Luke in chapter 10. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that these things thou hast hid. These things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. He rejoiced in the Spirit because it seemed good in the sight. So therefore, only the disciples know who Christ is. You might know, if you're a part of the crowd, they know Jesus. Whenever we go door to door, they'll say, oh yeah, yeah, we know about Jesus. Oh no, da, 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 da. No. Do you know him personally as the union in Christ? Secondly, we see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible reminds us, and Jesus says these words, and he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not been given. That's another testimony of Jesus. Only the disciples received information about the kingdom of God. The secrets about the kingdom of God, Jesus says that it is given to them whom the Lord chose to reveal. But to whom the Lord did not choose to reveal, the kingdom of God still remains secret or still remains uncovered. Therefore, in Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, little flock, do not worry. Little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. So therefore, the call, my dear friends, is to transform ourselves from the regular crowd. The regular crowd thinks Sunday is just our worship day, so they choose the earliest service possible. You know why? So that if they finish it, the rest of the day they can enjoy. That is crowd. Sunday amaya church ayipindi biryani ondukoni inka rest of the evening game ball something something something. That is crowd. They also worship, they also love. I'm not saying that those who believe the Lord they spend the entire day in the church. No, I'm not saying that, but they love the presence of Jesus. Their feet would run to the presence of God. I was sharing this morning that we want healing immediately. We want deliverance immediately. We want solution to the problem immediately. Everything, if anything goes wrong, we want deliverance immediately. But listen to this. Our feet are never so fast to go into the presence of God. We will go a little late. We will go, but we will take our time. The presence of God is not a priority. Those are nominal crowd. Crowd. But we need to transform ourselves from that crowd. We should say no. No. No to tradition. No to any aspect which are not aligned with the Word of God and not aligned with the Spirit of God that is dwelling in you and is charging you to be in the presence of God and to love His presence and to love His Word and to love His community and His and to love His people and to be in the communion of people. And that's the sign of a true believer. To them, my dear friends, He revealed Himself. To them, my dear friends, the secrets of the kingdom of God are revealed. And to them, my friends, it became the Father's good pleasure to inherit the kingdom of God. It is not a mere accident or just once it is mentioned like that. If you look at the church in Revelation, all the churches mentioned in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, let's read 2 or 3 of them. Chapter number 2, verse number 7. This is the letter to Church of Ephesus. And Jesus Christ is saying these words. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That essentially means in the church, in the crowd, there are specific people who are called overcomers. Look at church in Smyrna, in chapter number 2, verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That That means in the church of Smyrna, there are specific people who are called overcomers. In church of Pergamum, in chapter number 2, verse 17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That means in the crowd of Pergamos, there are specific people who are called overcomers. In verse number 26, in verse number 5 of chapter 3, in verse number 12 of chapter 3, in verse number 21 of chapter 3, for the churches of Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, all of them have crowds, but only overcomers are given the promise. So my dear friends, it is absolutely important for us to transform ourselves from the crowd to the discipleship of the Lord. In chapter number 8 of John, there is a very, very, very important sequence. I want to show you that sequence in John chapter 8. Here is Jesus speaking about the word of God and convicting people. Turn with me to chapter number 8 of John. In John chapter 8, verse number 30. This is a very, very beautiful thing. In John chapter 8, verse 30, he says, and as he was saying these things to the multitudes, in fact, many believed in him. This is a very, very, very true scenario happening even in the times of this of these times. This is happening everywhere. People speak, people believe. Whatever they speak, people believe. So here also we see that as Jesus was speaking, many people believed. Aini sangathulu maatladuchundaga anekulu ayani yandu viswasinchirana maata manam chustunnam. 48th maataku vache sariki manam akkada gamanistunnatundi maata emtante, the Jews answered him. Jews means those who are believing or those who believed. In verse number 31, it says that Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. So these are the set of people who believed. So in verse number 48, the Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? This is crowd. What they believed in verse number 30, 15 minutes later, they called Jesus as a demon. This is crowd. When the word of God is discerning and it is dissecting and it is operating and it is removing and it is sanctifying and it is convicting, you change from what you believe to say that you disbelieve and you renounce your faith and you become an enemy of God. And here we see that in verse 48, that are we not right in saying that you are a demon? And worse than that, as we move on to verse number 59, we see that truly, truly I say to you, Abraham, before Abraham was I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus did himself. These are the people who believed. This is crowd. Absolutely a crowd who are not transformed. They liked Jesus in the first few minutes. They enjoyed the word. And they said, we believe in you. But when the word was transforming their lives, when the filtering of the things are happening, they started to say that you have a demon. That's the crowd. That's the crowd. Many believed. But all of them were gone. We also see in Acts chapter 5 verse 17, the same kind of scenario happening there. In Acts chapter 5 verse 17, here also we see that, that when the apostles were arrested, and then they were making signs and wonders in verse number 12. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 onwards, we see there are many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people. They're all witnessing all of that, and they were rejoicing when the sick are being healed and the afflicted and the unclean spirits, they were all healed. They were all rejoicing. But here is some people in verse number 17, when we see here, they arrested them with jealousy. They are filled with jealousy. Matsaramato nindukuni unnaru. 24va vachananiki vachesariki vaaru em chesanaru anta antata devalayapu adhipatiyu pradhana yajukula maatalu vini idi evanu emavuno ani vaaru vishayam etu thochaka undiri. They are perplexed. They are filled with jealousy, and then they were perplexed. And in verse number 33, they were enraged. Vari maata vini athyagraham techukoni varini champanu uddeshinchaga. See the transformation of the crowd. when the Lord is doing miracles, when the Lord is doing signs and wonders, and the word of God is ministering to the hearts of people, they are filled with jealousy and they are perplexed, and finally they chose to kill. They chose to destroy these people. In fact, that's what they did to Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So that is why the command of the Lord is, in Matthew chapter 28, in the last commission that the Lord has given before he ascended, he said, all authority is given to me. Therefore, the command is to make disciples, not Christians, not religious people, not theologians, but the command is to make disciples and then baptize. That's why we have this practice of making disciples first before we baptize people here in this church. So therefore we make disciples, because for the disciples are only the set of people whom the Lord concerns. Disciples are the only set of people that the secrets of the kingdom of God is revealed. Disciples are the only people to whom the Father has revealed himself and Jesus has revealed himself too. And the disciples are the people who will inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, from the crowd, my dear friends, we need to transform ourselves into the disciples of Christ. So let me tie this up with a couple of points for us to take as application. So as we saw in Matthew chapter 28, a disciple must continue to abide in the word of God. So there we see, in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that's the first thing that the disciple must do. He must abide in the word of God. Meeru velli samasta janulanu shishyulaga cheyudi nenu meeku ee sangathulanu aagyapinchitino vatannitini gaikonavalanani variki bodhinchudi aagyanu paatincheetuvanti varu దేవుని యొక్క శిష్యులై ఉంటూ ఉన్నారు. యోహాను సువార్త 8:31 మాటలో కూడా మనం గమనిస్తూ ఉన్నాం. కాబట్టి యేసు తనను నమ్మిన యూదులతో, మీరు నా వాక్యమందు నిలిచిన వారైతే నిజముగా నాకు శిష్యులై ఉందిరని సత్యమును గ్రహించెదరు. సో జీసస్ సెడ్ టు ద జూస్ హూ హ్యాడ్ బిలీవ్డ్ ఇన్ హిమ్, ఇఫ్ యు అబైడ్ ఇన్ ద వర్డ్, you are truly my disciples. A disciple is the one who abides in the word of God, who discerns the voice of God, who desires the presence of God. My dear friends, there is no sweeter time in the life of a believer than the time that he spends in the presence of God, abiding in the word of God, dwelling in the word of God, spending time in the word of God. Just reading superficially, you will never get anything on the surface of the word of God. You must dwell, you must abide, you must dive, you must spend your time, and you must struggle in the presence of God to reveal what the Lord is intending for that verse to minister to you and me. Just by reading the verse from any portion of the scripture will not minister to you in the way that the word of God is designed to minister to the believers. It is that we need to dwell, spend, and to dive, dig, and to live life around the word of God. And the Bible also says that we are sanctified by the word of God. The Bible says in Jesus' prayer, his priestly prayer in 17 verse 17 of John, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. And in verse 50, chapter 15, verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So the disciples are sanctified by the word. So that essentially means they don't find any other place to sanctify themselves than to sanctify themselves in the word of God and in the presence of God. It is a benefit of the union with God. It doesn't come by spending time anywhere else, not even in coffee shops or one-on-ones or any other place, not even in a movie or nothing edifies than the word of God. No YouTube, no GodTube, no tube, no nothing. Only the presence of God, your word and his word and your time. That's the only place. So you abide in the word, you are sanctified by the word, and thereby you are living by the word. A disciple is the one who lives by the word of God. It is like that wise man. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine, Matthew 7 verse 24, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. He's wise when he listens to the word of God and he builds his life on the word of God. He is a wise man. The world doesn't think that he is wise in such a way if he lives by the word of God. The world thinks that he is a fool, and exactly so, right so. The Bible also reminds that God, even in the morning, we were reminded that he chose the weak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26, consider your calling, my brothers. Not many of you are wise. According to the worldly standards, not many are powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not. So there are four things that we see in this verse. God chose the foolish, God chose the weak, God chose the low, and God chose the things that are not, are of no reputation. Therefore, the wisdom of God is proven right. For Christ is the wisdom of God that is revealed to us through the word of God. Therefore, we are abiding in the word. Therefore, we are sanctified by the word, and we are living by the word. Only true disciples do this. If you are in the crowd, Bible is just a morning reading. You see those books, Daily Bread and all of that stuff, or the calendar verse. Those are all normal crowd stuff. Rise up, my dear friends. You got to dwell. People are running way far ahead of us in the word of God when they dwell hours and hours and hours on the word of God. And we are going back and back and back and back when compared to them. God is spending real good time when he's showing good things from the word of God. They're running ahead. People who are just believers, who receive Jesus from paganism and other religions and all of that, when they receive the word of God and they're moving ahead, and they're sprinting ahead. And we as believers are first generation Christians or second generation Christians or third generation Christians have no idea. And we don't have time to dwell with the word of God. But listen to this wise man who builds his life on the word of God. Therefore, a disciple is only a disciple abide in the word of God. Only the disciples of the Lord sanctified by the word of God. Only the disciples of the Lord are living by the word of the Lord. These are the tests, examinations that we need to put in our lives. The second thing the scripture reminds in Luke chapter 9 verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Disciples of the Lord take up their cross daily. And that is a sign and that is a test that the Lord has put for us, whether our cross is there on our back or not. As I was mentioning, we have three crosses. The cross on which Christ died, and we linger around the cross. We won't go and follow the healings. There are no special meetings with healings and deliverance and all of that. We linger around the cross of Calvary. And that is where the power of God is demonstrated. We don't go to any gatherings which there are lots of fun and entertainment. We linger around the cross of Calvary. Because that is the only place the power of God is manifested. So therefore in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2. He says that Paul is a Corinth. The nation or the place of Corinth is full of talented people. There are great orators, magicians. If anybody wants to become popular, let him go in Corinth and demonstrate his skill. He will become popular. It is like Hollywood. If you want to become anything popular, come on America, great show or whatever show, right? and you become popular. So Corinth is like that. And Paul is reminding those Corinthian people that after he spent 18 months forming the church, he said, I desire to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. And then we have the cross that we need to put ourselves on, as we saw in Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. And they that belong to Christ have crucified their flesh. And that is the cross that we put in practice. The first cross is the cross that we put in preaching. If God gives us an opportunity to preach the gospel, don't call it as a healing meeting. Don't call it as a meeting of deliverance. Don't call it as a meeting of entertainment. Don't call it as a meeting of my witness. There are a lot of meetings because of a great testimony. I'm healed of AIDS, so I'm a popular man. God has healed me from a great danger, so I become a popular man. No. Your testimony will live for just a minute or so, but the power of God resides only on the cross of Calvary. Because the Bible says that the gospel alone is the hope of our nation, but thereby is the power of God is revealed for salvation. Therefore, the cross of Christ is our preaching. The cross of our flesh is our practicing. And finally, the cross that I am crucified with is our pursuit. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live not, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 7, Paul says that whatever things are gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Friends, this is the priority of Paul. That he have counted everything else in life for the sake of being found in Christ, for the sake of his excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. In verse number 9, Philippians chapter 3, and he says, And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of the sufferings. He wants the fellowship of the suffering. And that's why he identifies himself with the cross of his passion, with the cross of Christ. So the cross of Christ is the center of our preaching. The cross of our flesh is the center of our practice. And the cross of our passion to be identified with the suffering. Christu koraku sramapadi. Christu koraku sramapundi. Anetuvanti anubhavamlo edagatane manamu mana yokka jeevithamlo oka guriga pettukoni. The cross of our passion, our pursuit, is to be identified with the sufferings of Christ, that we may know him, that we may know the power of his resurrection, then that we may be a part of his fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So crucified their flesh and their desires, crucified with Christ and preaching Christ crucified. That is the second mark of the disciple. So the first thing that we have seen is that we observe the command of the Lord, we dwell and abide in the word of God. We live in the word of God. We are sanctified by the word of God. And then we live around the cross of Calvary by carrying our cross. So we have a cross of Christ, which is our preaching. The cross of our flesh, which is our practicing. And the cross of the passion, which is our pursuit. And finally, the last command that the Lord reminds us in John chapter 13 verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you. That you also love one another. Dear friends, here also we see the third command or the third test that we need to put in ourselves. The command is that we love one another. The example that the Lord is giving is himself. Just as the Father loved me, the example is in the Father. I have loved you, example is in the Jesus. What about our example? Whatever our example. So in Christ Jesus, we have a command. In Christ Jesus, we have an example. And in Christ Jesus, we have a test. In John chapter 14 verse 21, he says, ఆజ్ఞను అంగీకరించి వాటిని గైకొని వాడే నన్ను ప్రేమించుచు ఉన్నాడు. This is my commandment. He hath my commandments and keepeth them. He is that loveth me. So let me conclude with 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Can we test ourselves this way? Apostle Paul reminding Corinthians. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith or not. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Christ Jesus is in you? And those who belong to Christ and those who have the indwelling of the presence of the Holy Spirit and experiencing this great relationship as a union in Christ, they are the true disciples of Christ. The rest is crowd. The rest is crowd and they are heading nowhere. But let us take time to transform ourselves. Let us refuse to say that this is not how I want to spend my time here on earth. And let us accept the fact that we will decide, or we will dwell in the Word of God, and we will spend our time in the presence of God and love His presence. May the Lord add blessing, and as we look to Him in faith, as we look to Him with this zeal in our lives, ee tapana ee dahamto manam prabhu ni manam approach ainatlayite devudu manalanu shishyulaga marchataniki ishtapadutu unnadu. Priyamainatvanti varalara, జన సమూహము నుండి శిష్యత్వంలోనికి రావాలి అంటే జన సమూహంలాగా ఉండాలని మనం కోరుకోకూడదు. దేవుని యొక్క వాక్యము ద్వారా మనం హెచ్చరించబడుతూ ఉన్నాం ఈ యొక్క సాయంకాల సమయంలో. కొంత సమయం వరకు మనకి విశ్వాసం ఉండి మరొక సమయంలో చెయ్యెత్తుతూ ఉన్నాం. సంకోచంతో కూడినటువంటి ఆ యొక్క విశ్వాసంలో మనము బ్రతుకుతూ ఉన్నాం. స్వలాభాల కొరకైనటువంటి విశ్వాసంలో మనము బ్రతుకుతూ ఉన్నాము. ప్రభువు నాకు ఇది చేస్తేనే నేను నమ్ముతూ ఉన్నాను. కానీ సత్సంబంధం లేకపోతే సంఘమముతో కూడినటువంటి, సహవాసముతో కూడినటువంటి విశ్వాసములు ఉండాలని ప్రభువు కోరుతూ ఉన్నాడు. అటువంటి విశ్వాసం వదిలి, ఎటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని వదలాలి? సంశయముతో కూడినటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని వదులుతాం. స్వలాభాలతో కూడినటువంటి విశ్వాసాన్ని వదిలేద్దాం. క్రీస్తుతో నూతన సంగమంలో ఉన్నటువంటి ఆ యొక్క విశ్వాసాన్ని మనం పట్టుకుందాం. క్రీస్తులో నూతన సంగమం, ఆ యొక్క క్రీస్తులో ఉన్నటువంటి నూతన స్వభావం, క్రీస్తులో ఉన్నటువంటి నూతన సహవాసాన్ని మనం పొందుకొని ఆయన శిష్యుల, నిజమైన శిష్యులుగా ఈ లోకంలో బ్రతకడానికి మనం సమయం తీసుకుందాం. ప్రభు మనతో మాట్లాడుతూ ఉంటుండగా జీవము కలిగినటువంటి వాక్యము మన యొక్క జీవితములను మార్చి ఆయన స్వరూపంలోనికి మనను నడిపించునుగాక. ప్రియుడైన మా తండ్రి, ఈ యొక్క సాయంకాల సమయమందు మాకు అనుగ్రహించిన యొక్క వర్తమానాన్ని బట్టి నీకు వందనాలు చెల్లించుకుంటూ వస్తూ, విత్తబడినటువంటి వాక్యము నా జీవితంలో ఫలించి ప్రభు ఆ తలలో ఉంచినటువంటి ప్రతి ఒక్కరి యొక్క హృదయంలో కూడా ఫలించి నూతనమైనటువంటి ఫలాన్ని నీ కొరకు తీసుకొని వచ్చి అర్పణముగా తీసుకొని వచ్చి ప్రభువా నిన్ను సంతోషపెట్టి, నిన్ను ఆనందపెట్టి, నీతో కలిసి జీవించి ఆనందించే కృపను మా అందరికీ కూడా దయచేయమని మనం చేస్తూ ఉన్నాం. ఈ వాక్యమును ప్రభువా మా జీవితంలో ఫలింపజేయండి. ప్రభువా నీకు వందనాలు. వినటువంటి మా యొక్క హృదయాల్లో ప్రభువా ఉత్తేజము కలిగి సంతోషముతో ఆనందముతో ప్రభువా ఇక్కడ నుండి వెళ్ళటానికి మీ సహాయం దయచేయండి. ప్రభు ఈ సాయంకాల సమయంలో నాయన ప్రభు కూడి చేరి వచ్చినటువంటి మమ్మల్ని అందరినీ కూడా నీ యొక్క ప్రత్యేకమైన కృపలో కనికరించి కటాక్షించి క్షేమాభివృద్ధిని దయచేయండి. మరి రేపటి దినాన్ని ప్రభువ మరి మేము ఈ లోకంలోనికి అడుగు పెడుతూ ఉంటుండగా ప్రభువ మరి నీ యొక్క సన్నిధి మాతో ఉంచి ప్రభువ మా యొక్క సాక్ష్యాన్ని మీరు కాపాడి నడిపించి మహిం పొందమని మనం చేసుకుంటూ ఉన్నాం. కృపలో వర్ధిలింపజేసి మీ నామానికి మహిమ ఘనత ప్రభావం తెచ్చుకొనమని. యేసయ్యాతి పరిశుద్ధ నామములో మిక్కిలి వినయపూర్వకంగా బ్రతిమాలి ఈ ప్రార్థన వేడుకొంచున్నాము తండ్రి. ఆమేన్.